Well, maintaining a godly standard for sexuality and purity can be really tough in today's hookup culture. And that's why Pastor Levi Lesko wrote his book, Swipe Right, The Life and Death Power of Sex and Romance. I'm John Fuller, and on a recent Focus on the Family broadcast, Jim Daly and I met with Pastor Lesko in the studio and hosted a question and answer session with several young women in the audience.
My name is Amelia, and in your book you talked about the value of sex. I think that was like one of the first chapters. But what is the value of the relationship without the sex? So like, you know how you have to build the relationship for like, you know, marriage. It just seems like our culture makes sex such a big thing that people don't want a relationship without sex. So what is the value of relationship anymore?
Wow. Such a good question.
It's the question.
Well, I think, Amelia, we have to go back to the beginning, because it's like a game of telephone where you whisper into someone's ear one thing and they repeat it into someone else's ear, they repeat it in someone else's ear, and all of a sudden what you get at the end is my cousin's choking on a peach when it started out with I like long walks on the beach, you know?
Right.
In Genesis, we see the original order. God gave this beautiful relationship, this friendship between man and woman. They were naked and not ashamed, not just on the outside, but on the inside. There was a vulnerability to it, a friendship to it, two people walking together. And I think the sexual intimacy was a cherry on top. And I think a lot of times people are trying to build a sundae on top of a cherry, where that's the thing that you're basing it off of, but there's so much more to it. It's that friendship. It's not doing life alone. And I think God wants the best marriage relationship to spring out of that beautiful friendship.
Yeah.
And that's what we see develop in the Song of Solomon. They say, don't awaken love before it's time. Don't do that. When you become intimate too soon, it causes everything to be fogged up, and no longer are you building that friendship that you're supposed to build.
Mm. Levi, too, I think the big question is we're wired for relationship. I mean, it's clear in Scripture that God created us for relationship with Him, right? It's kind of the core fundamental value that God has for us, is that we're wired for a relationship. I think it's why He says, love your neighbor as yourself, because He knows when you actually sincerely care for and love another person appropriately, their heart opens up to the gospel and so much more.
Yep.
We are wired for relationship, and we have inverted it. The enemy of our soul has convinced us that going after the cherry is more important than the sundae.
Yep. And I think even it's important even to realize while you're dating and even engaged, you're teaching each other what you think about God's authority.
Yeah.
So to an engaged couple who would say, hey, we're going to be married in a couple months, what's the big deal? Well, you're going to be exactly as faithful to your spouse as you were with your spouse before you were married.
Honor.
So I think in your showing like, hey, I'm honoring God in how I treat my fiance, I'm teaching you what kind of a husband I'm going to be.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. All right, let's go to the next question.
My name is Allison, and in your book, it talks about how we look left and we look right, but we really should be looking up. How do you get to that point of surrender where you look up instead of looking left or right?
Great question.
Oh, man,
I think you start with it. Start with God. That's what Proverbs 1 says. Start with God. We often start with looking here, looking there. What would feel good? What are my friends doing? What are they doing in the media? But seek ye first the kingdom of God, Jesus said, and all these things will be added unto you. So when you start with God, like, what do you want me to do? You begin literally your day with your devotions. You're choosing to look up. And if you begin there all day long, your heart's going to be more centered on heaven.
And that's an honest request.
Yeah.
Don't fake it.
No.
I mean, you could say, I'm looking to you, God, and then still behave in ways that says, no, I'm not.
That's right.
You can't fool yourself.
But I think what you start with shapes your day. And so beginning your day with God, honestly, all day long, you're going to have begun there. To wake up right away and go to Instagram or to the stock market or to CNN, I think you're not really giving God the first and the best of your heart.
Yeah, that's good. All right, another question.
Hi, my name's Mary. I was wondering what your walk looks like when you were trying to forgive yourself of the sins that you committed and how you forgave yourself, and like if it was easy or if it was hard or how long it took.
Well, I think that's an ongoing thing and an honest struggle. It was not like a clean thing, like this is it and then I'm totally good tomorrow. I think it takes us a season and seasons to heal. And for me, I needed a season of separation where I wasn't around the same kind of people that were exposing me to that sort of stuff. And I needed a season where I spent more time with healthy relationships. I think sometimes it's easy when you come to Christ or when you come out of a destructive habit to real quickly want to go back and minister to those old people. But if you're not strong, you'll get sucked back in.
Yeah.
And so I needed a season. And for me, that looked like, you know, Bible college and that period of my life, really, where I was around God's people more. And that really, that environmental change disrupted me enough to where I can now go back to some of my old friendships. And I have had the chance to, you know, be a positive light on them. But I think in that initial phase, you need to really let there be a time where you have separated unto God to really let yourself heal.
And that can be a year or two.
Sure.
Is a common framework.
Or 5 or 10 for
could
some
be,
people.
Could
right?
be.
But really taking a year off dating, I think
that's what I did.
Would be really wise.
Yep.
And to say, and you know, let me caution you, the moment you say, I'm going to take a year off dating, you're going to meet the one a month into it.
It's so true. It's exactly what happened for
Gene. And let me tell you something. If they're the one, they'll be the one in a year.
Yeah. Hmm. That's an amazing thing. It's almost like God smiles when he sees that faithfulness. That's all he's looking for. Trust me in a little way, and I will show you big things.
Delight me, delight yourself in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart.
Yeah.
But God's dreams often come when we don't chase them, but when we chase him.
And I was 2 years not dating
okay.
when I met Gene.
Come on.